Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to this very special edition of Atlanta Business Radio. It is time for Atlanta Cares Radio, featuring our wonderful host, Miss Grace Hayden. How you been?
I've been good. Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
Almost a full day since we've seen you.
Almost a full day. I missed you guys. I had to come back.
Wasn't yesterday a blast? It was our debut episode.
Yeah. And wow. What a kickoff.
Wasn't that so much
fun? Incredible guests. And we have a treat today, let me tell you. Because what we've been finding is there's so much talent in Atlanta, but there's nobody quite like Laurel Wells. So Laurel, who now goes by Laurel Thompson, spent her career as a product designer in the fashion world, most recently designing for one of the largest baby clothes brands on the planet Earth. After her daughter Bea was born, she left corporate fashion to launch her own brand of sustainably sourced, ethically produced clothing that adjusts to grow with baby, fitting three times longer. So welcome, Laurel. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for inviting me. This is exciting.
And are you an Atlanta native?
I am. I grew up in Sandy Springs.
In Sandy Springs. All right. And you live in Decatur now, right?
I do. We just moved to downtown Decatur.
So how did a Sandy Springs / Decatur girl get into the fashion industry? And tell us a little bit about how you became, you know, the owner and founder of your own brand.
Well, native Atlantans will remember that Atlanta was not a particularly cosmopolitan or fashionable city in the 1980s. And so, to be honest, I never even really thought about fashion as a career path. I was an artist. I grew up around artists, and my father was a musician. And I studied painting at the University of Georgia. And then when I finished college, I ended up moving to New York City and sort of getting into fashion through the back door. I had always made my own clothes just as a hobby. But after getting a degree in painting, I was qualified to work in the textile industry. And so my first job was working for a couture textile designer in the studio, screen printing, dyeing, mixing colors, things that I was really formally trained in, and sort of used that to vault into more of the fashion design world, which I had always kind of been doing, but didn't study formally. So after that, I spent about 10 years in New York City working in the women's ready-to-wear industry, and then came back to my hometown.
Wow. And so who was this baby clothing brand you worked for in New York?
So actually, in New York City, I worked in the women's ready-to-wear world. But when I moved back to Atlanta, I got a job at Carter's. That was one of the only fashion design jobs in town. And we came back really because we were ready to start a family, and our people were here. My husband also grew up in Atlanta. So we moved back here just to be closer to family. And, you know, luckily, it was a really good fit for me at Carter's. And I think I was there for 4 years.
And was your daughter born at the time you went to work to Carter's? Is that kind of what started that? Or were you just tired of doing couture and women's ready-to-wear clothes and you wanted to get into something different?
Well, to be honest, I never saw myself going into children's wear. I had never even thought about it. It was more like I had an opportunity in Atlanta and I took it and, you know, learned more about it and the ins and outs. And, you know, design is design. You're solving problems. So, yeah, my daughter was born when I was working at Carter's. And that's kind of when I realized, like, you know, these clothes could be working for parents a lot harder.
It's a good way to put it. So how do your clothes work harder for parents and grow with the baby?
So everybody knows that the problem with babies is that they grow up
too fast.
They grow up really
too fast. Darn fast.
They
so
grow
do
up,
puppies.
They grow up too fast, both metaphorically and literally. So they grow really quickly, and most parents know that you spend way too much time and money on clothing for them because they need a new size every few months.
Right.
and, you know, our traditional fashion system has been all too happy to meet those needs because it means that you have to
keep buying
them. So as a parent, I realized, you know, not only was that inconvenient for my wallet, it was also really inconvenient for the planet. I saw a documentary in 2013 called The True Cost, and I had been sort of aware of the environmental damage from the textile and fashion industry. But once I saw that documentary, I really realized, okay, this is a huge problem. And as a matter of fact, the fashion and textile industry is the second most polluting on the planet next to oil.
Wow. So, so what is it in the textile process that is contributing to all that pollution?
So one thing that people don't really realize is that most of our clothing is made of plastic. Did you know that?
I had no idea.
So anything that is labeled polyester, acrylic, acetate, nylon, elastic, all of those things are made from plastic. And the way that they do it is it really is like a big vat of melted plastic, and they kind of extrude it like through a sieve, and
oh,
it becomes
my. Stone's looking threads. At us.
Everybody's looking
Am
at
I
your
wearing
label.
100% plastic? Yes.
So there are a lot of ways that it's bad for the planet. I mean, for one thing, textiles rely on petroleum to be created. But the natural fibers like cotton, linen, all of those crops are heavily chemically treated. So cotton is the most chemically treated crop on the planet. It's also a very thirsty plant. It requires a lot of water to grow. And ironically, India is one of the world's largest producers of cotton, and it's also one of the countries that suffers from water scarcity. Hmm. So the water consumption, the plastic, the petroleum use, and then also the dyeing process can be extremely toxic. So the dyes get into our waterways. And then something that I really just recently became aware of is that when we wear plastic clothing, the fibers from our clothes sort of come out in the wash. They're called microplastics. And they're like plastic fibers that come out in the wash in your washing machine, and they get into our waterways. And recent studies have shown that these microplastics from little fibers from our clothing winds up in the entire food chain in the ocean. So
we're wearing plastic, we're eating plastic.
We're eating it, we're breathing it.
Wow.
We're drinking it. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, so you just listed a lot of kinds of fabric that are kind of no-no fabrics. So what's left for you to work with?
Right? So the way that I have solved that in my business, and it's kind of a workaround, and it's not perfect, but essentially I am buying leftover fabric from other manufacturers who have milled more than they need. So when a large scale manufacturer is milling their textiles, they have a lot of concerns. They need the fabric to be totally consistent without any imperfections. They need the color to meet their standards. There are a lot of steps in the process that can go wrong that renders that fabric unusable to them. But not to me. I'm a small guy, so I can sort of cut around imperfections. I'm not too concerned about matching color standards. And so that's gold to me, but I'm essentially rescuing it from a landfill, and turning it into something different.
Hmm. And so how do you use that fabric and make it in a way that the child can grow with it, and it's still able to, adapt to the different sizes of your child as they're growing every 3 months and need to size up?
So I wish I could tell you that it's magic, but I'm actually not doing anything particularly different than people did before the Industrial Revolution. So I'm using techniques that our grandmothers probably used when they made our baby clothes, and multiple rows of buttons or snaps. The way that I cut the pants, they taper a bit at the ankle, so when you roll them up, they don't unroll. I cut the pants a little bit long and roomy in the seat. So, you know, it's really just simple design features that allow the clothes to adjust as the child grows.
Hmm. Do you make those for adults too? I know we're going into holiday season. I might need some pants with a couple rows
That's
of buttons.
A great idea. And,
you and me both, Grace.
I just found a new business opportunity for it. There's a real need, let me tell you.
Indeed.
There's a real need. So how does what you do compare with, I don't know, I hear this term fast fashion thrown around a lot, and it seems to be kind of the antithesis of ethically produced and sustainably sourced fashion.
Yeah, you're 100% right about that. Fast fashion is basically what we are probably all in this room wearing. Garments that are cheaply produced, usually overseas, from textiles that are mostly made of plastic. We've sort of come to value clothing at a really cheap cost when you can buy a dollar T-shirt at Walmart or wherever. We start to think that that's what we should be paying for it. So fast fashion has really taken over and gotten us all accustomed to buying very inexpensive clothing and cycling through it quickly. That's why it's called fast, because the life cycle of the garment is pretty quick, from, you know, really a few months to maybe a year at the most. So slow fashion, being the opposite of fast, is fashion that is designed in a timeless way. It's really more about the styling. So it's timeless, it's classic, it's simple, it doesn't follow trends, and it's made of fabrics and materials that are more durable. So when I'm sourcing fabrics, I'm not choosing lightweight things that are going to get stained and ripped, and they're fabrics that are actually going to hold up over time, as well as the design allowing them to last. Something isn't going to be very useful to you after 3 years if it's got holes in it. So fast fashion is really damaging to our planet, and slow fashion could potentially be the answer.
And so when you're buying fast fashion clothes, you probably own more, whereas do you need fewer pieces if you're buying, you know, more durable clothes?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody really has the budget to invest in a bunch of really super high quality clothing that's going to last. I think probably a lot of psychologists are interested in the way that people spend their money on apparel, depending on the price and the styling and how long it's going to last. It can be cost prohibitive, but if we make smarter decisions about the clothing than that we purchase, then yeah, we could probably get away with having about at least a third of what we have.
Yeah, I'm thinking of my closet right now. I have too many clothes, and most of them I haven't even worn. So I'm wondering, do you see an impact on families in terms of just having less clutter? Maybe, I know moms have a lot to do just to get out the door to dress the kids, then dress themselves and make lunches. So do the families that you work with see an impact from, you know, less clutter in their lives?
A lot of what I do is education, and I don't just talk about fashion, and I don't just talk about clothing. I talk about reducing the things that we own, buying more, you know, durable and sustainable things. I recently did a blog post on greening your dish routine. So non-plastic dish scrubbers and sponges made out of walnuts and things like that. So yeah, I think kids really thrive in a more minimal, simple environment. I don't think there's a parent out there that can't relate to feeling exactly like you described, rushed, stressed, trying to get out the door. We have so many things. It's kind of ironic in a culture where we all feel like money is scarce that we own so much stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, and you raise a really good point. You know, I kind of have a double life. I'm a podcaster now by day as well as a financial advisor. So just thinking of the financial impact, you know, maybe buying less that lasts longer. Be interesting to study the break-even point there.
Something I like to think about is cost per use. So you guys would probably geek out on that.
Yeah.
But I recently did a deep dive into the cost per use on a Bea-made garment versus something you could buy at Target. The cost per use was actually the same. It was about 60 cents per wear for both an outfit you could buy at Target and an outfit you can buy from Bea-made. The difference is that the Target outfit you would have to replace about 6 times.
Wow.
Whereas the Bea-made outfit you could just keep wearing the entire time.
Wow. 6 times. Yeah, that's a lot of trips to Target.
And it sure is.
Once you're at Target, you're already in trouble. You go through those aisles. And...
Now, do you have brick and mortar? Is it all e-commerce? How do you distribute your goods?
It is all e-commerce right now. One of my goals coming up in the next year is to expand into wholesale. But for now, the only place you can buy Bea-made is directly from me at beamade.com. And that's spelled BEYAMADE.com.
So is there some significance to Bea?
So Bea is my daughter's name. She's actually named Beatrice after my grandmother, but her nickname is Bea.
So what's your most, the part that you like the best about this work? What do you find the most rewarding?
There are so many things to like. I think just being an entrepreneur in general is such a big challenge and calls me all the time to learn how to do new things. So really learning marketing has been very much fun for me in the last few years. And, you know, of course, the design part, that's what I've loved to do since I was a little kid, right? Like pick colors and play with fabrics and materials. I'll never get tired of that.
So I was just looking at your website while you guys were talking. It looks like you've gone to some real effort to build a community around the work that you're doing. So you're also putting some energy and effort into the care and feeding of your community as part of your long-term plan, aren't you?
I'm really excited to hear that you noticed that, because that's something that is so important to me, especially when, you know, I hate to say it, but these days you sort of can't lead with the environmental impact. It's a really big problem. Climate change is real and threatening. It's almost so big that people get intimidated by it. So by building community, we're really able to make people feel good about making small changes in their lives. Maybe you are not solving climate change by ourselves, but we're making small changes together. We're supporting each other. We're learning every day and doing better just bit by bit.
And I know you were mentioning earlier before we got in the studio that you work with some local refugees also who come from backgrounds where they work with textiles too. So it's also a really cool part of the community that you're building.
Yeah. I would call it my side hustle, but it doesn't pay. So it's not exactly a hustle. But I feel really passionate about immigration, immigrants, migrants, refugees, asylees. And I've gotten to know some really incredible people in Clarkston, which is, what do they call it? The most diverse square mile in America.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten to know some really, really dear people, people who are now kind of like Bea's aunties and uncles. And we were able to connect through fashion and apparel. So it's really been a gift.
That is really cool. Well, so why don't you tell us again where people can go and find out more about the clothes you make and maybe where your blog is if they want to learn some hacks to use less plastic in
yeah.
the house.
If you want to check out the clothing, you can go to beyamade.com. Again, that's BEYAMADE.com. You can see the clothes. You can find the blog there. You can read all about me and the brand and the story. And then I also really enjoy using Instagram. Instagram is almost like my mini blog, or I don't know, maxi blog. Maybe it seems like that's where everybody is these days. But yeah, I do these little videos and I go live and I talk about ways that you can live more sustainably with little kids. And it's a lot of fun. And that's Bea Made also on Instagram.
Very nice.
Wow, we had such a great time yesterday. I thought, man, that's going to be a hard act to follow, but you're two for two here.
Well, thank you.
This is fantastic. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story. One last time, coordinates for folks to join that community and get their hands on these properly sourced and sustainable goods. The best coordinates for that.
Yep, beyamade.com and on Instagram at beyamade.
Fantastic. All right, until next time, this is Stone Payton for our host, Grace Hayden, our guest today, Laurel Wells, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next time on Atlanta Cares Radio.